to new beginnings.
This is Duval Culpepper, and welcome back to the PBS special, New Beginnings. Your host explores the... This sounded like that, so I kind of leaned into it. Previous episode sounded a little bit more sack of shit than usual to me, and I was definitely drunk, as I usually am when I do these, because that's the only time I have the wherewithal to bare my soul to the internet and strangers alike. But I think I left out a very important part of that, which is, you know, I was talking about sort of this, you know, absence of friendship and like this kind of loneliness. But all, the other part of that is also like the gate opens to a world of possibility that is by entirely of your own design. And that I've just kind of been feeling, the sort of joy and excitement. Like I was driving around and it's been really hot recently. It's been like in the high 80s and the temperature dropped about 10 degrees to like, you know, the high 70s. And that smell, that air, the smell of that, it reminded me, like it brought my brain back. You know how your brain can make you time travel sometimes? It brought me back to September of 2017 when I left Kingston, New York to move to Boston to work for Tom Brady. Which was a whole saga and journey of itself, but it was this new beginning. It was like a new time in my life where I was abandoning and leaving a lot of old comforting relationships and situations to do something better for myself. And, you know, it wasn't like my life's ambition to go live in Boston and work for Tom Brady, but it definitely opened my world to a lot of really deeply, profoundly beautiful things. I mean, my God, there was this girl, Jessica, I think her name was, that I dated, who, like, we went on a date, and Boston women are notoriously hardened, just battle-hardened Mark Wahlberg stones of people. And we're out to, and I'm, you know, I'm this affable talk, you know, loquacious New Yorker, which, like, that, in my experience, has never really meshed or blended well. And like after three beers, we're at this bar in Central Square near the Enormous Room, which I think is still open. And I'm looking at her and she's like just been so disinterested in everything I've been saying. All my anecdotes go nowhere. I get nothing from her. And I'm like, hey, look, if you want to leave, like that's cool. Like I won't be offended. Like, you know, we tried. And she just stares at me. I'm like, do you want to get another drink? She's like, yeah. I was like, again, you don't have to stay. Like, it's totally fine if you're not into this. And she's like, just get another drink. And I'm like, okay. And we kept drinking, and then we, like, dated for 3 weeks. And she was, like, the meanest, coldest woman I've... And, like, not in a fun way. Not, like, in a, like, oh, she's, like, a complicated, emotionally unavailable woman. She was just, like, mean. But... it was an adventure. It was wild. She was like a yoga instructor. Her like dad hung out with, not Led Zeppelin. Who's the other one? I guess yeah, something. She had like a photograph of her with like Led Zeppelin by her nightstand, which I thought was weird. and I remember we were hooking up once and I think I went down on her for a while and she was like, kind of like mean about it. This woman was terrible. And she starts to like go near my cock and she just kind of stares at me and she's like, what do you want me to do with that? And I was like, and like not in a sexy way. I was like, and I hate doing this. Here's a letter to every woman who I have been with or will be with. Never ask me if I want a blowjob. The answer will always be yes. And I am not into this weird power play where I need to like, please, ma'am, cut a crumb of pussy, please. Like, fucking hate that. Biggest turnoff in the world. So she just stares at me. But at the time, I was a younger boy. I was a younger man. I was like, it'd be nice if you sucked it. I mean, what do you, like, what are my options here? And then she like begrudgingly gave me a blowjob. So this is my life in Boston. But I also did a lot of stand-up, and I made a lot of money, and I advanced my career. in several ways there, and met new people and enjoyed other relationships. Dated a polyamorous CrossFitter who, it was really cool at the beginning. We would just order Thai food and watch Star Trek Enterprise, and then fuck, it was great. But then after a while, I think I like wasn't like, she was like very much a CrossFitter. She was a very strong woman. But in my mind, like in her mind, like I wasn't jacked, and I definitely wasn't jacked. She was definitely larger than I was, but I was like, I'm a man. I could throw you around if I needed to. And then after a while, like our dates just became her talking about other dudes. And I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to fucking hear this. Like, this got nothing to do with me. She's like, well, my boyfriend and his wife are having a... I'm like, that's not even a real sentence. So that was another horrible Boston relationship. Boston sucked for me, but it made me grow is my point. And that smell in the air, as I was talking about, is a really beautiful thing. And it was a beautiful thing. And I smelled it the other day. And as I kind of bemoan the conclusion or the sunset of certain relationships and dynamics that I have grown used to, I have now the ability to have an open heart towards new things. As a result of my previous podcast episode, an old friend, another lover, from my days in Beacon when I owned a coffee shop, she reached out to me, and she was older than me when we first saw each other. And we, you know, it was super casual. We just kind of came in and out of each other's lives and orifices. And, you know, I was like 21-ish. This is 15 years ago, and she was older than me at that time. And, you know, she was like my older woman, like, you know, she was a MILF, you know, she was, way more than that. She was a very emotionally and intellectually and spiritually aware person. And she gave me more wisdom than I think I was prepared to absorb at that time. But she recently reached back out to great sex, by the way, and incredible blowjobs without asking. And she reached out recently, and, you know, we talked for a while, we video chatted, and she noticed my pain, you know, she said that visually, you know, I looked depleted, that, you know, that I was skinnier, that she just noticed what most, the people that I would hope would notice, didn't articulate or wouldn't comment on. And to have your pain seen is a very important thing. And she's just a very wise, just again, emotionally, spiritually, metaphysically wise person who, again, when we first encountered one another when I was like 21 years old, you know, I had some capacity for absorbing what she was providing me, but not really. It was, you know, yeah. But I appreciated her and I cared about her deeply, but now her kind of circling back into my periphery and my worldview, it's important, it's valuable, and I've just been thinking about this like necessary human mechanism for passing on wisdom to younger generations, and the power and the beauty and the necessity of communicating what you've learned to younger generations. You know, I went on a date a couple of weeks ago with a girl who was 23, 24, which is like way younger than anyone I'm usually used to dating, but you know, I'm trying to open my mind and to again, new beginnings, new experiences. And you know, this girl was talking about chronic pain, and I was like, oh shit, well I know about chronic pain, and I was able to impart like knowledge, you know, and not in a condescending like mansplaining way. I was like, here's what you can learn from my experiences. Take what you will from these observations. And again, so I guess my point is that there's just this really beautiful cycle of learning and sharing and passing along that I think is really central to why our generation and current cultural experience is so fucked right now, is because we have people who don't want to hear that, who can't be told like I'm right, I'm internet tells me I'm right, or my selfie tells me I'm right all the time. So we've kind of dulled that nerve that allows us to receive very necessary information from people that we may not be really wanting to get that information from. So a little bit of a tangent, but I don't know. I've just found a lot of beauty in passing on experience and knowledge and information, and I'm very grateful for many people, but particularly the women in my life who have helped me grow. You know, and this particular woman, this woman older than I, who reached out and we chatted, and then reached back out the next day and said, "I was concerned about you." And, you know, we video chatted. And she said, I look like I had AIDS. you know, but hey, look, I lost 20 pounds, you know, and I'm working on that. Just chugged a fuckload of Huel. This episode brought to you by Huel, total meal replacement powder. And, you know, and it's not just like a nutritional thing. I'm sure it's a spiritual, psychological thing for all the woe that I've been through in my mind. And even that, and even her, like, you know, helping me realize that, like, you know, it's, you know, I'm not real. This idea that I have of myself isn't real, and I'm holding on to this, like, 21-year-old, like, the Commodore, you know, hubris, arrogant, cocksure young man who that identity was just born out of a deep and wild insecurity of a lot of things, of being the only black guy in my rich private white school with white people. And for most of my life, you know, growing up without a father, you know, just all these things that, like, this very occasionally Patrick Bateman-esque artifice that I created, it's lost a lot of its usefulness because I'm not that insecure boy anymore. You know, I found a lot of security in myself and in my pain and in my suffering and in my struggle. So part of my new current struggle is, like, allowing myself to say, you don't have to be this, like, perfect and like impenetrable 22-year-old anymore. You know, you turn 37 in a week. Like, you've grown up, you've learned, you've seen some shit. Like, share that knowledge. You know, don't be so guarded, don't be so closed off, don't be so protective of this manicured identity that you think you have about yourself. And these are some of the things that she, you know, intimated to me and reminded me of. And it was very, very powerful and useful. So, yeah, you know, I hope you have that. I hope you have that in your world. People who don't just say, "Hey, you doing okay?" But, like, really, really dig in, really take notice of you. And maybe they won't be the people that you see every day. You know, maybe someone who has been out of your life for a long time will drift back in and at a very necessary time and remind you and tell you what you need to hear. I should hope that you would be so fortunate as I have. So she may be listening. She probably is. Thank you very much for reaching out, because that really lifted a weight off my shoulders. Just the one shoulder, not the both. And again, makes me want to share what I can with people. And that's why I do this podcast, you know, for people who have to quietly suffer and silently suffer, either because they don't have the language or the words to share their pain, or no one's checking in on them to ask. Because there's nothing worse than suffering and having people to stare at you and see and not see that pain. But again, new beginnings. The air is shifting. Perhaps I am. I for sure am. And I've got a little bit of that twinkle of what comes next now, you know? It's like, I was swimming the other day and I had a little neck spasm. I was, like, going too hard. I was doing this, like, I don't even know what I was doing. I was doing, like, an enemy in Power Rangers, like, water in the move in the water. And I, like, my like, neck muscles, like, spasmed out. So, like, my neck's really tight. But not the end of the world. I'm feeling good otherwise. I'm going to get a massage on Thursday, and I'm going to keep on lifting weights and swimming, and in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be on the road again, I believe. No, I will definitely be on the road again to somewhere else. Yeah, so again, I wanted to amend that last episode and really just lean into the goodness that I truly do feel as well, in addition to my sporadic and various ailments and woes. There remains a beauty, for sure. Sinuses are acting up. Yeah, Boston did suck. Boston was a weird place. I lived with these, like, three, like, grad students at the time, and, like, they were just such, like, Boston, like, college liberals. I remember my one of my roommates, he came home, like, in a panic one day. I was, like, sitting on the couch watching Fox News, and he comes in, he's just like, Duval, I was on my bike, and, I hit Cornell West. And I looked at him, I was like, well, first I was like, is he okay? Did you kill him? He's like, he's okay. But I hit Cornell West. And I was like, and he was looking at me like, I was like, what do you want me to do? I can't, we might go to the Black Council and fucking parlay for your freedom. Like, what are you talking about? Just, you know, just those types. But like the type of white people who were like, I was for sure the first black person they've ever like lived with or shared like close proximity to. Quaint town. It was very quaint in a lot of ways. Like if I had like a sturdy, reliable woman there. I did hook up with this girl who was a crew. She was on crew or whatever, you know what I mean, like the boat shit. Very Boston type chick. Had the little like, you know, her crew cap on and she wore boat shoes all the time. It was pretty odd. I mean, I don't know. I'm a waspy motherfucker. Like, what do you want from me? You know, my family has a house in fucking Martha's Vineyard. The black part of Martha's Vineyard. So fuck y'all. All right. Anyway. Okay. So, you know, enjoy new beginnings, guys. And embrace them too. You know, don't necessarily look at things ending. You know, this is all this fucking Hallmark card bullshit, but it's true. You know, don't look at, you know, your town changing, your relationships changing, your friendships changing, your jobs changing, you know, the workforce, you know, the labor landscape, the, you know, the industry you work in changing as a bad thing, as something concluding. Look at it as an opportunity to spring into something fucking brand new. Because things are going to be wild, but they don't have to be terribly, they only be wild in a terrible way. I need water. I'm slapping my lips here. All right, good shit, guys. Adios.